from the desk. Be my guest. Grant called the flight monitor and asked her to patch him through to the pilot of the incoming lobber. Grant recognized the pilot once his beefy face showed on the phone screen.
Hey, Grant, how are they hanging, buddy?
Fine, Derek, and you?
Gonna be busy landing this bird in a couple of minutes.
I understand. Look, I need to come aboard as soon as you land, before you start unloading cargo.
You going back with us?
No, I just need a few minutes with your outbound passenger. The pilot frowned with puzzlement.
She's right there at your facility, isn't she? Why don't you talk to her there?
Making himself smile, Grant replied, Long story. I'll chat with her aboard your ship while you're unloading, if it's okay with you. I won't delay your departure.
Okay by me, long as we get out on time. My boss is a stickler for keeping the schedule.
Clicking off, Grant turned back to Oberman. I'll run the access tube, Nate. You can stay at the desk. Oberman's lean face looked curious, but he said only,
You're the boss.
Grant went to the airlock hatch and quickly scanned the controls for the tube that would connect the airlock to the hatch of the lobber once it landed. Behind him, he heard Cardenas and McClintock enter the area. Actually, he only heard McClintock talking nonstop, more and more frantic with each sentence. He was talking to Chris, Grant knew, but she wasn't saying a word back to him. On the control console's minuscule screen, Grant saw the lobber settle down on the blast-blackened landing pad, silently blowing a spray of dust and pebbles across the barren, pitted ground. He worked the access tube out to the ship, watched it groping its way like a blind giant caterpillar, and finally connecting to the lobber's main airlock hatch. As soon as the console's lights flashed green, Grant opened the airlock hatch and sprinted along the tube to the ship. The man at the other end in the sky-blue uniform of Cellini's transportation department eyed him curiously.
"What's the rush?" he asked.
"I don't want to get in your way," Grant said, heading for the empty passenger compartment. He saw the ship's pilot clambering down the ladder from the cockpit and got an idea. "Hello, Derek." The pilot's face was fleshier and ruddier than it had looked in the comm screen.
"Welcome aboard, Grant," he said.
"Dr. Cardenas is your only passenger on the flight out, right?" Grant asked. With a curt nod, the pilot said,
"Unless you people make a last-minute addition."
Shaking his head, Grant said, "No, no additions. In fact, there's a guy with Dr. Cardenas who'll probably try to come aboard with her. She doesn't want him to."
"Oh?"
"He's trying to sell her something she doesn't want. I'd appreciate it if you didn't let him come aboard. Dr. Cardenas would appreciate it, too." The pilot shrugged his heavy shoulders.
"Okay, I'll stop him at the hatch."
"Great, thanks." Grant climbed up into the passenger compartment while the pilot went to the airlock hatch. Fidgeting along the thinly carpeted aisle between the empty passenger seats, Grant heard bangs and thumps as Farside's technicians began unloading the lobber's cargo. Food mostly, Grant knew, and supplies for 16 different kinds of equipment, from tractors to computer screens. Chris Cardenas stepped into the passenger compartment, her eyes going wide with surprise when she recognized Grant.
"Are you going to Cellini, too?" she asked as she dropped her travel bag onto one of the empty seats.
Grant hurried to her. "No, I need to talk to you for a few minutes, that's all." Her expression hardened.
"Don't tell me you're trying to get me to stay here, too. I told Carter and—"
"No, not that," Grant interrupted. "I just need to ask you. Is there any way that the nanos inside me could have caused the problems out at Mendeleev? Any way at all?"
"Absolutely none," Cardenas said firmly.
"You can't blame yourself for what happened, Grant. It's not your fault."
"You're certain?"
"Completely." Somehow her reassurance didn't make Grant feel any better. He said, "Suppose somebody somehow mixed some gobblers in with the nanos you gave me." Now Cardenas scowled at him.
"Grant, you're getting paranoid."
"But just suppose. Is it possible?"
"No one in my lab would do such a thing."
He agreed with her. He knew she was right. But deep in his gut, he was unconvinced. "Is there some way to check out the possibility?" he asked. Cardenas huffed impatiently.
"I could take a blood sample and examine it."
"Could you do it now, here?
Does your clinic have an atomic force microscope?"
"No, but the maintenance center has a laser probe that can do nanometer resolution." Looking decidedly unhappy, almost disgusted, Cardenas glanced at her wristwatch. "You've got an hour before they lift off," Grant coaxed.
You could check my blood and still make it in time.
Cardenas sighed heavily.
I doubt it.
But she studied Grant's face for a long moment, then picked up her travel bag and said,
What the hell? Let's see if we can make it.
Grant knew that there wouldn't be another flight in from Cellini for 3 days. We'd better get this done before that lobber takes off, he thought. Otherwise, Chris is going to be damned unhappy with me.
Racing against time.
Leading Cardenas out of the lobber and down the access tube, Grant was relieved to see that McClintock had left the reception area. Derek got rid of him, he thought gratefully, as he hurried with Cardenas along the narrow tunnel toward Farside's minuscule infirmary. Grant phoned the maintenance center as they entered the infirmary and told Toshio Aichi to be ready to test the sample in the laser probe. Then he explained what he wanted to a surprised Dr. Kapstein while he rolled up his coverall sleeve. As he sat down for the blood drawing, Cardenas asked,
If I miss today's flight, when's the next one out?
Grant swallowed hard, then admitted, 3 days from now.
3 days?
She yelped. I'm afraid so. Glaring at him, Cardenas said,
Well, we'd damned well better get this done quickly. I can't miss today's flight. Anita Halleck's people expect me to be in my lab for a design conference about their mirrors.
Wielding a needle, Dr. Kapstein said,
This will only take a moment.
3 days, Cardenas muttered while Grant flinched at the needle's prick.
We'd better make today's flight. I can't hang around here for another 3 days.
I appreciate this very much, Grant said by way of an apology. Clutching the vial of his dark red blood, Grant hustled Cardenas down to the maintenance center and introduced her to Aichi and Zacharias. He explained what they needed, and the two techs walked them down to the far corner of the center, where the laser probe was already humming. Grant saw from the digital clock on the probe's readout screen that they had 47 minutes before the lobber was set to lift off. As Aichi and Zacharias adjusted the laser, Toshio asked,
We are looking for nanomachines?
His face was impassive, but his tone clearly uneasy.
That's right, said Grant, his eyes on the bead of bright red blood that Cardenas had smeared onto the probe's specimen stage.
Zacharias's butterball face suddenly went somber.
Grant, you've got nanomachines inside you?
He nodded tightly.
Jeez, said Zach, with awe in his voice. I didn't know.
He edged slightly away from Grant.
It's only been a month or so, Grant said.
Toshio said,
Am I correct in believing that you also carry nanomachines within you, Dr. Cardenas?
That's no secret, Cardenas replied.
Jeez,
Zacharias repeated. The wall screen to the right of the workbench lit up, and Grant stared at the sight of dozens of little blobs racing back and forth.
Not the sharpest resolution, Cardenas murmured.
It's the best we can do, said Aichi.
Those are nanos? Zacharias asked.
Yes, said Cardenas. They are programmed to disassemble molecules that don't carry Grant's specific genetic markers.
Any molecules? Grant asked.
Only organics, answered Cardenas. And only within the specific environment of your body. If any of those nanos get outside your body, they will automatically deactivate themselves. They're tailored to your body, Grant. They'll switch themselves off in any other environment.
Grant glanced at his wristwatch. 24 minutes to lift off.
How can you tell if there are any other types of nanomachines in my blood? Grant asked.
Frowning at the display screen, Cardenas replied, I can't. Not at this resolution, but...
Standing beside her, Grant peered at the screen. He could feel Toshio and Zack behind him, literally breathing down his neck.
What am I supposed to be seeing? He asked.
Cardenas murmured,
Wait. Just a minute or so more.
The frantic little specks on the screen were slowing down. As Grant watched, the blobs that were nanomachines moved more and more sluggishly. Finally, they stopped altogether.
Nodding as if satisfied, Cardenas said,
That's it. They're deactivated.
They're dead?
Zack asked.
Deactivated, Cardenas corrected.
Turning to Grant, she said,
You see? Once the nanos are outside your body, no longer powered by your body heat, they shut down.
Grant was still staring at the screen. The specks that were nanomachines were totally inert now, unmoving.
Are you satisfied, Grant?
Cardenas asked.
Do you feel better now?
He broke into a guarded smile. Yeah, I guess I do.
All right, then, Cardenas said.